As she prepares for her final year as president of Atlanta Spelman College, Beverly Daniel Tatum spoke to Inside Higher Ed's editors and reporters about her time leading the historically black women's college, the state of institutions like hers, and what's ahead for Spelman and for her. Inside Higher Ed's Scott Jasek joined her in the conversation.
You've announced your plans to leave in a year after finishing a huge capital campaign. How do you see Spelman as having changed under your presidency?
When I first saw Spelman was in the winter of 2002. I visited the campus as a prospective candidate. I made what I call my secret visit to Spelman. I was trying to decide whether I wanted to be a candidate. And when I first came to Spelman, I returned home with a very positive impression. And I told my husband that Spelman was a jewel in need of polishing. And I think it's really polished up. So by that I mean we really have worked on lots of things. You know, we've expanded the residential campus, we've improved the quality of our housing, we've increased our academic offerings. We now have 400 students a year traveling abroad versus maybe 50 or 70 when I first arrived. The changes around wellness, of course, have been very exciting. The campus is beautiful. It was always beautiful, but I think we've been more focused on sustainability and the sustainable use of, for example, low water plants that don't need a lot of water and things like that. I mean, just there have been changes in lots of different areas. The improved use of technology as part of not only the classroom experience, but part of our administrative functioning. We're pretty much a paperless campus now. There are lots of things that I think are better than they were when I arrived. We're not where we want to be. I'm quite sure the next president is going to take us to an even greater place.
I know a big goal was increasing the alumni participation rate in giving, and that was key to your campaign.
Yes.
Can you talk about where it was, where it is now, and how you got it there?
Absolutely. So when I arrived at Spelman, on an annual basis, our alumni participation was about 13%. In the year that just ended, it was 41%. So we feel very proud about that growth. It's been a steady process. The first step, I think, in improving it was really understanding what was the pattern to begin with. When I say it was 13%, it's a little misleading because our graduates were certainly supporting the college at higher numbers, but not consistently. We had a pattern of giving where our alumni made gifts at reunion. They came back faithfully for reunion, but reunion is once every 5 years. So when we really recognized that pattern, we worked to change it from a once every 5 year pattern of giving to an every year pattern with the slogan, Every Woman, Every Year, and really worked to educate our alumni about why it mattered that they be consistent. And really it matters not only because of the dollars that they themselves give, but when you go to a foundation for support or individual philanthropists or corporate foundations, they all will ask you, what's the level of giving among your graduates? They're the ones who know you the best, and if they're not active, consistent supporters, it's hard to persuade other people to be. And as our alumni came to understand that, they certainly began to give more. We also worked hard to communicate with them more frequently by creating online, and the expansion of our technology helped this, but online communication. So we've got a weekly communication that goes out to all of our graduates. They can share in the pride of our accomplishments because they know more about them. We also were very successful in getting a donor to help underwrite our annual fund to provide kind of a network, a safety net for the effort. Because when you're working on alumni giving initially, you're going to be getting small gifts. You know, those early gifts are maybe $25, $50, $100 a year. You need more than that to achieve your financial goals. And you can grow those gifts once they become consistent. The $100 giver can become a $1,000 giver, the $1,000 giver can become a $5,000 giver, etc. But having a donor who said, you know what, I'm going to underwrite this. I'm going to guarantee, as I was successful in getting someone to do, $1 million in this first year while you're working on that. Next year, maybe that amount's going to go down, but the gifts from the alumni will make up the difference. And over time, we were able to completely generate all the funds we needed without any additional support of the kind I was describing, that matching gift fund.
You got a lot of attention for announcing that you were eliminating intercollegiate athletics and focusing on wellness. Tell us how that has gone.
It's been really exciting to see the campus embrace this idea of wellness. We have a slogan, it's eat better, move more, sleep well. The three pillars of health, really. If you do all those things, you'll be a pretty healthy person throughout your life. And we really have seen students who have been sedentary coming out to participate in classes like hip-hop aerobics and yoga and learn about tennis or the kinds of activities that will be lifelong. When we made the decision to withdraw from NCAA Division III sports, it was not because we didn't think sports was important, but we realized we had a very small number of student athletes and a lot of students who were inactive, and that if we could get our students engaged in lifelong wellness activities, that would benefit their health throughout their lives, and it would give them the tools they needed to ensure the health of their own families and spread that knowledge throughout the communities from which they came.
You're leaving Spelman in very healthy condition as a college. These have been tough times for many historically black colleges. As you look at the environment, why do you think some historically black colleges are either financially struggling or under siege by politicians? And how much of a concern is it to somebody at a college fortunate not to have those same challenges?
Well, I think every college has challenges. And certainly, while I would agree with you that Spelman, I like to say Spelman is healthy but not wealthy, and as an institution that's serving a traditionally underserved population and a traditionally economically disadvantaged population, one of the challenges that we have in common with all of the HBCUs in the nation is that the students who want to come to us are not likely to have the funds they need to be able to afford a college education. We know that 50% of African American families earn $40,000 or less. It's very difficult to send a student to any kind of college on a family income of $40,000 or less. And if you look at the upper end, the population, the African American population that earns more than $200,000 is only about 1%. So the vast majority of families are really in need of financial assistance in order to be able to make a college education a reality. And unfortunately, the schools that are doing the most to educate the underserved have the least number of resources. You know, we hear about colleges with big endowments, the Harvards and the Yales and Stanfords of the world. If you look at the number of Pell-eligible students attending those schools, it's a very small fraction of their population. Typically, the New York Times ran an article last summer that showed the percentages at a number of elite colleges, and I think the range was from 8% at the low end to 22% at the high end. At Spelman, it's 52%. At a lot of HBCUs, that number might be 70 or 80%. And so when you've got a population of students who really need opportunity but don't have the resources, and the institution doesn't have the resources to support them, you come to a very difficult point, which is, I think, where we all are sitting right now. When politicians talk about the fact that HBCUs are no longer needed or no longer relevant, I think they just need to check their history and to see that it is still the case that HBCUs are educating a disproportionate percentage of those African Americans who go on to earn professional degrees, to be leaders in their communities, to really make a difference in the world. And certainly that's what we're doing at Spelman.
A lot of your writing, even before you became president of Spelman, has been on the subject of race relations.
Yes.
What's your take on race relations today, particularly among college students nationally? And can you talk about how you plan to explore that going ahead?
Absolutely. So when my presidency comes to an end in June 2015, my first project will be to go back to writing. Many people are familiar with my book, Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria, which was published in 1997. Some of the themes in that book I'd like to revisit 20 years later to see, in fact, we know from any observer will know walking into a predominantly white college or university that the black kids are still sitting together in the cafeteria. But What's their understanding of that? And what are the larger racial dynamics that we're all responding to? If you were born in the year 2000, you were 8 years old when President Barack Obama was elected. If you were born in the year 2000, you were coming of age as a young person when the Trayvon Martin incident took place, when Jordan Davis was killed. So when you think about those incidents and how they shape the understanding of race relations for this generation of young people, I think those are, I don't have the answer to the question just yet, but one of the things I want to do is explore those questions with those born in the year 2000 and later to see what's on their minds. Certainly we know that much of the rhetoric surrounding the election of President Obama and some of, you know, the daily scenes we see on television still remind us that there's a lot of work to do around the issue of race relations. And we also know that neighborhoods are still segregated and a lot of young people are coming to college with very limited experience of having engaged with people different from themselves. It seems to me it's one of the things that colleges and universities can provide is a real learning laboratory for a diverse democracy.
Would you have been surprised in 97 when you were writing the book that there would be so many examples of racial incidents and poor race relations on campus today?
That's a really interesting question, because in 1997, certainly I wasn't, if those things had been happening in 1997, I wouldn't have been surprised by them. I think perhaps the thing that's been most surprising to me was the election of President Obama. I mean, in 2008, when he was running, I, as someone who was born in 1954, really didn't think he was going to win. I mean, at a certain point, we all began to see that he could win, and of course he did, but when he first announced his candidacy, I didn't think it would happen. Interestingly, my oldest son, who's now 32, born in 1982, was convinced that it would happen, and of course he was right. But I do wonder whether his optimism was shaped by the fact that he was born in 1982, as opposed to my experience of someone who was born in 1954 and, you know, maybe was a little more cynical.
And anything we should be watching for in your final year at Spelman?
Absolutely. We are very excited by the fact that, so let me just say this, I want to say this about my final year. I think about the role of president as being like a relay race runner. Right, you know, you get the baton from the person who was before you, you take it, you run with it as fast as you can to make as much progress as you can, and then you have to pass it on to someone else. But if you watch relay races, what you'll see is that the relay runner speeds up before they pass the baton. And I certainly have a lot I want to accomplish this year before I pass mine, because I want the next person to feel the momentum that we have gained. In particular, I want to really focus on, again, more scholarship support for our students. But also, we have done a lot to bring the campus into the 21st century, but there's one area that we still want to focus on, which we have not yet, and that is the area of the arts. HBCUs are the preservers of African American culture, and the innovation and creativity that comes through the arts is an important part of our global economy. And I think that we want to be sure that our arts program is 21st century, just as we have emphasized our STEM program for the 21st century. So we have a building we want to renovate, and I'll be working hard to make that happen.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.